This is March 12th, 1999. And I'd like to start this morning. By the way, you can your normal voice. This picks up everything, so your normal voice is fine. I want to start just asking, are you a native of Mooresville, or did you...
No, I'm a native of Iredell County, Union Grove, in northern part of the county. I came to Mooresville in 1966.
Okay. And when you came to Mooresville in 1966, were you in the position of an administrator?
I was a school teacher at the junior high school.
Okay.
I was health and physical education.
Okay.
And some science.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what were some of your first, when you first moved to Mooresville, did you have any general impressions of what the place was like? Was there, perhaps compared to today, how you feel kind of it's changed in that
Well, way? Of course, when I moved here, it was a very small town.
Right.
We had like one school system, and we had one black high school, which was Dunbar, and it was a union school.
Okay.
Which is grades 1 through 12.
I'm not sure what a union school, so that just means it houses all the
union,
grades,
yeah, it means, yeah, grades 1 through 12.
Okay.
And my first year, they had begun to develop the plans of desegregating and dividing up that school. And what they did was in 1967, the second year, we did completely integrate with the students in the middle school, junior high school, which was 7, 8, 9, coming to the old Central High School over on Moore Street, where Mitchell College is now, and the making Dunbar, the Union School, a elementary school, and dividing up the other three sections of the town. So we had Parkview Elementary, this one here, we had South Elementary, then we had Dunbar. And then we had, which gave us three elementary schools and one junior high school and one high school. We had some very key teachers at that point that came from Dunbar High School. I know at the junior high school, we had Mrs. Barbara Atwater, Mrs. Clara Goode, and at this school, which we had Ms. Nancy Cross, and which is a lady I really want you to talk to. Maybe she wasn't teaching then. I don't think she was. No, she was, I think, a student at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I'll let her figure it out when I get her talking to you. But we had some really good teachers who, in the year 1966-67, the schools had met, the teachers had met and had worked together on things. So the transition was very, very smooth. We had no problems at the junior high school. I know I was being in health and PE, I had no problems there with the students. I did talk very seriously with one kid who was a pretty smart black child, Paul Mayhew, and coming out for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another child, which was the following year. I didn't have any the children because they didn't go for football, but I did have Paul Mayhew to come out for basketball. And his personality and his demeanor fit right in with the guys. They really enjoyed him. He really enjoyed them. And I always remember that because that was such a smooth transition. And I've heard a lot of other coaches say, you know, they had very hard transitions.
Yeah.
But that was a very smooth transition. And he really opened the door up for other kids, you know, that, gee, you know, it's easy, you know, there's no problem. Get this out of your system that they're against you and stuff like that. And it really, that solved us. And then the very next year, we moved to a new junior high school over on Magnolia. And I talked to a couple of boys, one of them, Milton Johnson, and going out for football.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he, and I might get him to talk with you too. He came out and liked it and began to spread the word, you know, this is not what you think it is. It's really fun. Coach Jones is fun. He's a hard worker, but, you know, he wants the best out of him and things like this. And he and another boy, I can't think of his name, turned that corner for us in football. The black teachers came right in, high quality, fit right in with the white staff, and there was really no problems whatsoever. Their demeanor and their way of teaching really suited a lot of our white children, because they they demanded a lot because of the black school. They demanded it and wanted them to excel. So therefore, when they stepped in, those teachers and they knew what we wanted as a faculty, and in discussing in the year 1966, they stepped right in and with no problems. And the school system, under the direction of Roland R. Morgan, Dr. Morgan was a very stern, wanted done his way superintendent, but he would listen. He would listen. And I think that's probably the type of person we needed then. Mm-hmm. He understood what we needed to do. He listened, and then he says, well, we're going to do it this way, and I think it's to get the best results. And we did, and we did get the best results. Mm-hmm. And we had good principals at that time. Mr. Woods was the principal at Dunbar, which is a school that's named after
right,
now.
Right, that's what I have, yeah.
He was a very strict type of person, because it was a union school,
right. 12,
grades 1 through 12. Right. And therefore, he had a lot of compassion. And I know that when they divided it up and it went, and with him, it was Mr. Woods there. I'm not sure who was at Parkview at that time. But I know Mr. Smalley was at the middle junior high school, and Mr. Nanny was at the high school. Mr. Stewart may have been in the South. I'm not sure who was here. Mm-hmm. But it worked. Mr. Harrell may have been here. Mr. Harrell. But they all worked together. Mm-hmm. And throughout that whole situation, our school board and our principals and our superintendent really listened to the community. Mm-hmm. They wanted Dunbar, which is now Woods, to stay a community school.
Right, because
that's what the community wanted, so that's what we really wanted that too. We kept a community school here, and then we had a community school which at South. And of course, the high school and the junior high school were right in the middle, so it really helped to have them right in the middle of the town. Mm-hmm. But that motion of getting everything going I really go back to the point, I think, meeting with the faculty and hearing, let's do it this way, or can we do it this way, what should we do, and really getting a lot of input from those people. Really helped us. It really helped us tremendously in what we did.
So were there any instances where you talked about how the importance of having the community input? How did they go about doing that? How to get the community input? Did they have, were there meetings that were held?
Yeah, they did have meetings to find that. And the biggest reason they had the meetings was, all right, let's look at the size of what Woods or Dunbar is at this time. Mm-hmm. What would it best house, and it was best house an elementary school because it wasn't that large,
yeah.
And then it would take and see this at this time that was how big the school was here,
okay.
So it would take numbers away, and that's about how big the other school was.
Mm-hmm.
South Elementary was a two-story building, sort of like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it is no, it's not. They have the new school over there. But it was sort of like that there over beside the First Baptist Church. And that, and the biggest thing that the black community wanted was, you know, a community school to stay there that they could associate with, and
right.
and you know, for their pride's sakes, and that, and mm-hmm. and that was very much what the school board wanted to do, and that's what Dr. Morgan wanted to do.
Having read or been reading about other instances in other areas of the state where a lot of the black schools were closed
right.
immediately, and how, you know, and kind of questioning to the extent, does that really achieve, you know, what, mm-hmm. what integration is supposed to be about when you close the black schools?
Well, Dr. Morgan had a very open mind about it, and he listened very well to his, I know Mr. Woods' principal was very influential with working him, because he would really go ask him, you are the heartbeat of the community, what's the best move? And because I know that although I was new here and it was the first and second year, I know that being a coach and in athletics, you know, I was talked to about this, you know, how to get the guys involved and how to get the girls involved and everything, because we really had no problems in physical education. The guys mm-hmm. came right in and accepted each other and mm-hmm. and did things. I look at it now and wish that type of demeanor, mm-hmm. association was what we have now. It's grown apart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because of the pressure of the moment, of pressure of the moment of education. Then we were just getting our feet on the ground, and we were working together, and had really, I can remember no problems.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember
mm-hmm.
no problems. Now we you know, you have your skirmishes, but you know, but they were not racial skirmishes. That was one thing that I really, really admired, the fact that how we did things. We just didn't have those.
Was there an issue over the fact that, would white students have gone to Dunbar
mm-hmm.
once it was integrated?
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever really a more
was
an
not
issue?
An issue. Was not an issue.
Wow.
Was not an issue because we integrated our faculty, and it was white faculty there, with black faculty, was black faculty here, there's black mm-hmm. faculty at South, there's black faculty at middle school, black faculty at high school.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so we sort of integrated the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, and so there was really no issue at all.
That's right.
And yeah. what they did there to help the situation is, as time progressed, we actually made that a 3-4 school. First off, we started elementary.
Right.
Then we made it a 3-4 school, which brought all the kids from all the town in there.
Uh-huh.
So there was really no big issue.
Right.
It was sort of like the middle school and high school. Everybody went there.
Mm-hmm.
So this was South and Parkview, was the only place where they divided them up. And so it worked very much, very well.
And, I want to kind of move away from the school itself and perhaps kind of get some of your thoughts, or trying to get an idea of daily life in Mooresville, say 1966, and the interaction between races in Mooresville at that time outside of like the school. Was there... I mean, you know, what was downtown, like on a Saturday, if you walked downtown, would you see blacks and whites walking downtown, or was it...
Yes.
Kind of
uh-huh.
residentially segregated? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get an idea.
Because, you see, Mooresville was very small, and it was
right.
textile.
Yeah.
With Troutman shirt, and with Cascade right up here, and with Kim Spun out on 150, and with Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
It was strictly a textile.
Mm-hmm.
And... that blacks and white worked in the textile plant. So those, you know, there would be no problem. You
uh-huh.
you would see them. Yeah, you would see them on Saturday afternoon and things uptown.
Mm-hmm.
And as we integrated the schools, and as that improved the feeling, so to speak, of the community, I'm sure there was more of it. We even had a movie theater, which one time the blacks sat upstairs,
yeah,
whites sat downstairs,
other
and that changed very easily with not any problems whatsoever. In fact, the whites wanted to sit upstairs.
Right, right. Had that occurred before 1966, or would you say it was about the same time?
About the same time. I think the I can. I don't remember it happening separated when I was here. I think it had already been divided. I just remember stories of people telling me that's what it was, but I can remember going as a young man, and they were standing downstairs, and blacks and whites were downstairs. So.
And I'm interested to hear about, you talked about your coaching at the time. Did you all play any schools that had not, that in your conference, that were not integrated yet, or was that an issue at any point?
No.
Like with deciding your schedule, none of the other schools were like, no?
No, it was not. It really was not an issue. Because we played people like Statesville and South Iredale and North Iredale and Landis and China Grove and those. That was never an issue at all.
Had most of them become integrated about the same time, you would say?
No, not to that degree. Now, there were instances in that, and I'm sure, because I can remember playing at one school, and the school was a real small, narrow gym, and they had a balcony, and as we would, but of course, they didn't pick out the black students, they picked out black and white, and they would throw back then, the keys would come off the cans of drinks, and they'd flick them at them as run up down the court, But it wasn't it was the fact that we were from Mooresville, not black or white.
Right.
And we had the same, when I coached high school basketball, which has now been since 1977 through 1991, I had the same instances at some high schools where they would throw M&Ms at them. And it was not necessarily, of course they did call out racial slurs, but it was not necessarily black, stolen and are shooting the M&Ms that they were shooting at all of my players. And and we still have those areas like that today.
Sure.
We sure do. But as far as not wanting to play us, no. No, we never did have that problem whatsoever. And here again, I was young and had been to college with some blacks, and so they really didn't bother me. I felt at home with them. I felt like I had a pretty good rapport with black parents. They normally, those parents in that day wanted good discipline, and so when I would have a basketball meeting, have a football meeting, and I'd invite the parents, and I would say, these are the few rules I have, and respect, of course, is one of them. Being at practice is one of them, and if you can't, I understand there's always something comes up, but I need to know. I says, if the guy just says I'm not practicing today and walks off, then he's off, And they like that. They like the structure. They understood that, and I had. In my 26 years of coaching, I only had two or three parent problems, and they were all white. Blacks, but I did not have, because they wanted that discipline, and they knew that they were going to get it, and they appreciated the fact that they got it through the camaraderie of the team and the workout ethics that they got through it. Remember, so.
So you talked about kind of on the teams, the integration on the teams. And also, I was wondering about once, like, other school activities, as far as, like, the clubs and the student government. Did there seem, when integration began, did there seem that there was kind of a, that there was a general integration? Like, I know the cheerleaders are another issue, like the issue with the cheerleaders.
That is probably the only area that I could say that we probably had a problem in.
Yeah, I think
with
that's
girls
true
athletics,
yeah.
and with the track and softball and things, tennis, with student government, I think student government maybe took two or three years,
yeah.
But I think the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade kid in the junior high school, you know, if there is a sincere black kid there mm-hmm. that showed the leadership, you know, they'd vote for him. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they did. I know to get that started, I think we had two vice presidents, one black and one white.
Okay.
You know, and I think we had that for about 4 or 5 years, and then after that, we really didn't need it, you
right,
see,
right.
because they got into the flow and they got the understanding of what was going on. And we, with cheerleaders, I don't know that was a, you know, to me
sure.
I wanted to stay away from it
yeah.
but yet once they picked them, I was kind of in charge of them because
okay.
they was with me in the football, they was with me in basketball, and they my principal says you are kind of the administrator now
oh.
and so I had to they had to sort of conform to what I wanted to do, and but that was only after they were picked and stuff like
and
that.
And were cheerleaders picked by the student body or by?
No, they were.
They were, usually,
they were basically the way they did it at your junior high school. They had they gave them a application form. The teacher filled it out
mm-hmm.
with for grades and for discipline.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they had been OSS two or three times, well, they just couldn't try out. Or if they've been disrespectful and things like this, so they had to do it through a checklist. And then they tried out, and normally we had maybe one teacher or two teachers, probably a black and a white. I know Mrs. Atwater always did it, who was black. And a couple of high school cheerleaders, and a lot of times mm-hmm. they used Davidson cheerleaders.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
I know that. As far back as I can remember, they tried to use two or three Davidson cheerleaders.
The funny thing is that those Davidson cheerleaders, if it was before, like 1974, they were actually probably like cheerleaders
yeah.
at Queens and other places.
Right, uh-huh.
So,
mm-hmm.
so yeah.
I know we used those a lot in the situation. And I think to help that situation, Mr. Smalley, who was a principal, who was very much, he played pro sports, so he understood the ramifications of it, and he made the statement for about 4 or 5 years that one position would go to a black cheerleader.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, the best black cheerleader.
Yeah.
But then if there was four or five tried out, and that one, the top one was put in that one slot,
mm-hmm.
but maybe the second best one was better than the whites, of course they
right.
could get it too,
right.
you know, by the
right.
grading system. He just wanted one, and it worked real well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone back and forth. Some years I've noticed that they would have maybe two or three, then some years they wouldn't have any, the next year they'd have two or three. So here again, it goes back and forth with the interest, and it really goes back and forth with the makeup of the child, I think, because some girls, you know, they want it laid to them on a silver platter, and it just doesn't work that way. And so, and those are ones who cook up the biggest fuss.
Right.
Then the next year, the two or three come along, and they're very competitive and very good, and they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no, you know, but they I think more so as a town and as a school system has worked through those things, and they don't really, you hear it once in a while, a grumbling of it, but you know, it fades, you know, it's just somebody wanting to kick up, you know, and I get it all the time. I got it as a assistant principal, and I still get it here as a principal that, you know, you're racist. And I see, you know, and, I had one parent who was just very, vocal about that, and I had one of my former black players mm-hmm. to hear
mm-hmm.
and just really jumped on her good and let her know that Mr. Jones is not, you know, that's your picture, your painting, and you need to keep that painting to yourself because that's not true. And ever since that point, she's had a different, she is not, she's been different, but you know, she just, that was her, know, her way out or hurts, you know, and I don't say excuse, but that's, she just wanted to bring that into the conversation a lot, and I wouldn't let it come in, and that just really made her mad or upset.
Now, had you been teaching in Iredell County Schools before you came to Mooresville?
No.
Or you had?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I came here in 1966. I'd been in Albemarle.
Okay.
And then I was in Albemarle for 2 years, Chesterfield, South Carolina, and then came here.
You've been teaching in all those places.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're, having taught in the different places, I'm not sure, is Albemarle still, do they both have smaller districts?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they
Yeah, Albemarle is a city. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was just wondering.
And I taught there at a junior high school, which was the only junior high school you see in the town. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it was a good mixture of children, you know, mm-hmm. no problem.
I was just wondering about maybe any thoughts that you had in regards to, you know, Mooresville's a smaller city mm-hmm. in a small city-run district, you know, very mm-hmm. locally influenced, and then, you know, you look at, say, the Mecklenburg County schools, mm-hmm. and just was wondering if you had any thoughts just on, you know, the differences that you perceive, it's not very well phrased, but how being able to operate in a small district, like the small city, how you've seen that as an advantage?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a great advantage mm-hmm. because now in our system, a student is a name, a student is a face, a student's not a number. Whereas I'm sure in Charlotte Mecklenburg with the number, they become a number instead of a, and I think if you would ask our students, you know, that 99% of them would say, you know, they enjoy the fact that they're in a small system because they can be heard, they know they will be helped, and things like this, even, you know, black and white. Our football team and our basketball teams at the high school and track last year and baseball last year, girls basketball to some extent was very successful. And it was a very good integration of the black and white kids, and it showed their camaraderie and how they work together. And of course, and this has been true as long as I can remember, because I coached high school basketball from 77 to like 91. Mm-hmm. And I had seven or eight out of 12 blacks some years. Some years I would have five, some years maybe 6-6. Mm-hmm. But they worked together very easily, very, very easily. Only a couple of times that I have problems with students, and it wasn't, I don't think it was a black and white problem, it came from PT playing time.
Okay.
you know, that some kids at the beginning of the season may be at the top of their game, but as the season progressed, they stayed there, but other kids passed them, and they got, you know, they would get upset because their playing time got dropped down, but I tried to tell them, you know, they're not improving like the others, but, you know, but that wasn't that. You're playing him because he's black, or you're playing him because he's white. At all. At all. Not at all. What at all. Didn't have that.
Well, I basically, you've answered all of my questions
okay.
very well. I want to basically just kind of open it up and say, ask if there anything that you would like to add, or if there's any... in, you know, a certain story.
Well, I'll add
whatever you would like.
The last 6 years, I've been on the town board
okay.
here in Mooresville.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have what I call like my door. Here's an open door policy, and the teachers know they can still come in. I see, and I'm a person. And my district has black and white, and knocked on every door,
yeah.
and probably knew the But then the second time around, after 4 years, I think that percentage had dropped about 50 because we're growing so much. I have dealt with them in situations and always been very fair. They've been fair with me. Anything else?
I guess that's about all of my questions. I really appreciate your time.
Sure. And I will set up another time for Ann.
Okay.
I may get Ann, and I'll get Mrs. Cross, and I'll get Milton Johnson.
Wonderful. Oh.
I'll get all three of those to come and sit down.
Wow.
I can do, because Mrs. Ann, of course, is here. I think it was either beginning teaching at that time or she was in school. So, and then we have a student. We have two really, and Milton's will be the same way. So that will be very much, I think they can give you the more inside.
Okay, well, just in different
ways. Yeah, right. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead and get that.
Hello?